Welcome back to Girl Meets Show, the relationships podcast for people in a relationship with TV. I'm Jordan.
I'm Taylor. We've got Emmys. We've got A Murder at the End of the World. We've got The Curse. We've got a jam-packed episode today. And it seems kind of weird because it feels like we haven't really had a lot to talk about in the last couple weeks. Like, as we've been like, oh, we don't have anything, but we have so much stuff that we're like busting at the seams. So let's start off with TV news. I have one, and it's that Tina Fey is going to be starring in a series that she's working on with some of her original 30 Rock collaborators, Tracy Wigfield and Lang Fisher, who I know better as besties of Mindy Kaling and worked with Mindy Kaling on previous stuff. So I'm excited. Good trio.
Yeah, Tina Fey is like fully back in action right now, which is exciting.
Got to kick out all that stuff before she takes over SNL.
Yeah, apparently. Have you seen that? I've been served up this tweet like a billion times about Succession, but it's this. Like, would watch. And
totally.
Just like we were talking about last week, White Lotus season 3 cast. Turns out that Dumois blind item was correct. Pretty much on all counts, I think. I haven't gone back and checked everything. But our girly from Sex Education, Amy Lou Wood, is going to be in the season, which is fabulous news. That's what I'm most excited about. But I am excited also to see Walton Goggins, who I did think was really funny in the only season I've watched of that one show. The Gemstones.
Oh, yeah. The right.
Yeah,
gemstones.
Yeah. I was like, Royal Gemstones. No, Gemstones. Him. Also, Patrick Schwarzenegger. So.
Yeah, that one was kind of random.
Very random. But they always need some, like, hunk to make a fool out of on White Lotus.
It's true. I feel a little bit iffy kind of on this cast. It just seems it just seems so random, but I think that's how I felt previously, and like Mike White will pull it off, I'm sure.
It's so true. It's true.
This was just something I wanted to note, is that I watched that Hulu movie that we've talked about, Self-Reliance, this over the weekend, and it was kind of whatever. It's a good like turn on this movie in the background while you're crafting type of thing, which is exactly what I did. And I just wanted to take note of the fact that I spotted there's a plot point of that, like a character like does all these like fun, quirky ceramic pieces. And I was like, those are Katie Kimmel, aka Jimmy Kimmel's daughter, who I love to follow on Instagram because she makes these amazing ceramics. And it was, they like shipped in all of Katie Kimmel's like ceramics for the set. And I guess like none of them were broken, like everything was perfect, and I was proud of myself for recognizing it, and I thought it was fun that they used her stuff.
That's amazing. A dream of mine would be to be able to afford getting a Katie Kimmel homage to my dog someday. What's the word I'm thinking of? Commission, like commissioning one.
Yeah. It'd be beautiful.
More casting news. Last of Us Season 2 has cast both Caitlin Dever and Young Mazzino, who played the younger brother in Beef, both as characters in Season 2. And Beef is still the only thing I've seen of the brother, this actor, but he was very good. We know Caitlin Dever's very good. So that made me more excited.
I'm very excited about this casting news, and can't wait. Did you watch the full trailer for the new Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
I did, and it looks fun.
Is this the first time in history that we've both watched a trailer?
I really think it is. Mark the day.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Now we know the magic formula for us to both watch is Donald Glover and our favorite Pen15 girly.
Yes.
Maya.
Wow, we deserve a raise.
It looked really fun. What
did we deserve a raise?
We do.
But it did look really fun. Also, on, I don't think they were allowed to say this because one host kept saying, the embargo, but on the Patreon of Who Weekly, the one host was like, we got the full season streamers and it was really good.
She was good. Okay,
this is
that's pay-gated. Great.
It shouldn't matter. But now here I am spreading her illegal review.
On something that's not pay-gated.
Yes. But they're picky. And so, and I don't always agree with them, but I feel like this, they were like, she was like, it's really fun. And it was great. So made me great. Even more excited. They announced that Our Flag Means Death is now canceled. No third season. And the internet
bye-bye.
Is flipping out. In my For You page, I see people that are requesting famous people to retweet, save Our Flag Means Death. And then other people that are saying, I hate the Our Flag Means Death fan base. I hate them and I'm glad the show got canceled. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't know about any of this.
What have you done to get that in your For You page? I guess just like being a Taika fan?
I guess just the Taika of it all or something. Flight of the Conchords.
I haven't seen one peep about that. I saw an article by them that was like, fans are really like, are like making a petition to like, or something. But that's the only thing I saw.
Well, I also, something else that was in my For You page today was someone being annoyed at the fans again, because they were like, this is so annoying. All of these replies are just about Our Flag Means Death. And it was all the replies to an HBO tweet congratulating Sarah Snook on her Emmy win. And they're all like, wow, congrats to her. But how about we renew Our Flag Means Death? Like, it's all, I'm like, I didn't know it had this type of a love for this show.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
One more thing. And, it is that. Did you see that Jennifer Lopez trailer that people were talking about today?
No.
It has been described as quote unquote batshit. And someone said, well, it makes so much sense that her soulmate is someone who has a phoenix rising from the ashes on his entire back tattoo. And so I was like, well, I've got to watch this. Thinking, and I was like, oh, she's doing a documentary. It's a trailer for Jennifer Lopez's film, This Is Me Now. Well, this
is it
me,
a musical?
... Now, : the film.
This
and,
is me.
I was like, okay, so she's doing like a Beyonce, like Taylor Swift era's concert video or something? I was like, I don't know when she was on tour last. No, it is. And this is all relevant to us because it's streaming on Prime. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can say this as news. It is a trailer of like a dramatic movie with musical numbers, yes. And it has, in the cast is Kim Petras, Post Malone, Kiki Palmer, Sofia Vergara, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Derek Hough, Trevor Noah, Fat Joe, the rapper. Ben Affleck is in it. Who else was in? It's like, I was like, what? And it's all about like, all everyone ever thinks about me is I'm just a hopeless romantic. And it's all this weird stuff. Apparently it's a short film after all that too. It's like a 2-minute long trailer. I'm like, so this is like the whole movie. Anyway, it kind of feels like a fever dream trailer.
So you would recommend I go search it out?
I think you should watch the trailer. Yes, I'll send it to you right now.
Okay, perfect.
So
maybe we'll do an entire podcast episode on it when it comes out.
Maybe. It was interesting. It's directed by the guy who did Harry Styles' Adore You video and Me by Taylor Swift video. So just more facts.
Noted.
The end.
Okay, we're gonna wait and do our top three when we talk about The Curse. So let's jump into the Emmys. Overall, I felt like the Emmys were a lot better organizationally, I guess, if
yeah.
that's a word.
Yeah, no, it's perfect.
I like the host wasn't cringe, obviously. I liked all of the like TV sets. I thought that was really cool and fun. I did feel like there was a little bit too much time focused on those little mini TV reunions and then all the actual awards were like having to be like double speed. Like mm-hmm. I was having a really hard time following what award we were even talking about, what shows were like being nominated. They need to like put some lower thirds in of that kind of information, because like if you miss when it's announced, you are lost the entire time.
Yeah, it's true.
But as far as like how the show was ran, I would give it a B+.
Yeah.
Which is kind of rare these days.
I thought I was impressed from the get-go how like, I'm like, wow, this is a lot of effort. And that was even only when I saw the first set. Because the sets were all pretty awesome. And like the level of detail was very impressive. I didn't mind. I think especially coming off of the Golden Globes, I didn't mind having like really scripted intros to everything. Like I was like, I don't really need to be like laughing. Like it doesn't have to be comedy. I like kind of these homages.
No, it can be genuine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I liked that vibe a lot better. I did think it was some of the choices were interesting, like American Horror Story. I was like, oh yes, the beloved television show. But the set, I was like, well, this set is really cool. It's funny that they chose this. And then I really was surprised that literally only Dylan McDermott was even there from the cast. Mm-hmm. That was weird. I mean, I know they had Anthony Anderson dressed up as like the rubber guy, but I was like, this is odd. Like they just clearly wanted to build this set so bad, and so they were, let's just do it. So okay.
Well, and then I was surprised that they brought out John Hamm talking all about Mad Men, but then he didn't have a Mad Men set, and that set is beautiful. They should have had that.
That would have been so good. And I feel like Peggy or Joan and Roger, like bring them out. That would have been adorable.
Yeah, it would have been so fun.
I did like when the It's Always Sunny cast called them out. They're like, hey, why didn't you make like Patty's Pub? That would have been a great set. I thought that was really funny. But it was like too fast, but I had respect for it all. It looked really nice.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like everyone, like I wasn't disappointed in any of the wins. I was pleased with all the wins. They were mostly the same as Golden Globes and Succession swept, as they should have.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a lot of people complaining about like people voting for the same, like if one show wins something, they win everything, which I kind of agree with. But I do really genuinely feel like Succession deserved every single award, because it really was like night and day difference kind of television show.
100%. Yeah, it would have. And I mean, I think I'm happy because I like all the shows that swept, you know, so it's like, mm-hmm. That's cool. It would have been nice to see Barry get some love. I did see people that were saying the director,
he should have won. He should have won. That is true.
They were like, he like ran his body ragged, like starring in the show, directing every episode, like that. That is really sad. But then I also saw, because directors are in one category, right? They don't split it up of comedy directing and drama directing. I don't remember off the top of my head. Because I did see that the director, Mark Mylod, who directed...
He was not... I don't think they were in the same category, It was split.
Then that's good, because I...
Because Beef won.
Oh!
I thought.
I think you're right. I remember the speech and stuff. Yeah, you're right. Okay, that makes me feel better, because I was seeing people say, like, Mark Mylod, who directed Connor's Wedding episode, which is, like, obviously iconic, and I guess he had never won the Emmy, even though he has directed, like, a lot of iconic episodes, too, so it's like, oh, I would have, like, I'm happy he won, but if they were nominated in different categories, then I am upset that Bill Hader did not win.
Yeah. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
But good thing he's a supportive boyfriend for his winner girlfriend.
I was going to say, like, Wong. He can't really complain because his girlfriend's show won all these awards.
That would be really hard.
It really would. That would suck.
The last thing I have to say about the Emmys is just, like, it was so confusing because Like with the Golden Globes, almost a lot of the shows like aren't even finished yet. Like Fargo just ended this week. There's another one that like is still like The Curse that like weren't included in the Emmys, and like The Bear season 2 was nominated in the Globes, but The Bear season 1 was nominated in the Emmys. So like it's really confusing, and I would imagine that most people don't even know that like all the Bear wins were for season 1.
I was shook. I didn't know. I assumed it was all season 2 because season 1 came out so long ago, it feels like. And especially I think with Desi aka Eben winning his Emmy. I mean, he was great in season 1 also, but season 2 was like he was the highlight of the season for me. And so I was like, well, duh, of course he wins. But it was like for last season. So see you guys all around next year when you all win these Emmys again, because season 2 was even better than season 1.
Was better. I know. I saw a tweet. The tweet that even sparked this whole conversation was like, oh, like the voters definitely thought they were voting for season 2 because like the timing is also confusing. And I don't know how valid that is. I would hope that they knew what season they were voting for.
Yeah.
And like because this show usually happens in September, and like the validity dates are like because of how shows used to run, like with like fall and spring episodes. But so now it's really confusing. And I think it wouldn't have been confusing if it would have actually been in September, but the writer strike pushed this. So I'm hoping that this confusion settles down now that I understand that more, but wow, it was rough.
It is also wild that they normally are in the fall.
Yeah.
So that's so random. They're like the only one that's then. So I did forget that it's not usually this crammed, because neither of us even had remembered that they were literally going to be like this day that they were on.
Yeah.
It was shocking to me.
It was a lot. It was too much. Never again, hopefully.
Yeah.
It was just like every day was a new award show of people winning awards.
Well, and it was really funny because I was like, wow, that's so weird that like even us on our podcast, like we emphasized the Golden Globes so much when like if the timing were better, that we would have probably had a whole episode just of the Emmys. Because like the Golden Globes are usually like, and here they are, really random. Yeah. They're kind of more random, but they actually held kind of more weight than the Emmys this year because they happened right before. And so many of the winners were the same across the board. So it was just like kind of, it was weird. Weird time.
Yeah. And I think, and I saw that the Emmys had like one of the lowest ratings of viewers, which I thought was interesting.
That is interesting.
Because I think the Golden Globes had a high rating.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Sad that we had to officially say goodbye to Succession, because I think that really is the end of the end, but for the best for us to move on as well. They say moving on is good,
I guess. As I hit play on a rewatch of Succession.
We watched Murder at the End of the World, which I had to say so slowly to make sure I said that correctly.
Way too long of a title.
It's an FX show that's on Hulu, made by the creators of The OA. So, as you may or may not know, Jordan and I are weirdly, not weirdly, we don't really know, but we're OA stans. We feel like it was a fever dream. Yes. And like,
it's like an obsession.
I don't know if I ever want to go back and watch it, because I feel like it's way better in my head and I want to keep it that way.
Yeah, agree. Like, I'm really not interested. Just feels like a fake show.
Yeah. One of the best parts of the OA, though, is that it stands out because there were so many things that were so weird. And Murder at the End of the World, it was like really pretty, great acting, but it was just so slow and honestly not weird enough for me. How do you feel about it?
I agree. I'm trying to think of a single weird thing that happened. Like, weird. It's also not fair that we also watched The Curse, like, in the same time frame. But
well, The Curse was more weird than, the like, an OA-esque than Murder at the End of the World, for
totally.
Sure.
But, yeah, so I'm, like, I don't really remember anything that weird in Murder at the End of the World. It's almost like, were they trying to make something a little more accessible or something?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't like that if they had to change themselves.
Yeah, that is sad.
My overall thoughts were that it was fine. It was an okay murder mystery show, but it was just a little too slow and I got bored too often.
Yeah, the episodes are all like an hour plus.
Mm-hmm. Unnecessarily long, for sure.
Yeah, I think there could have been some editing. But yeah, I felt like it was so pretty. The set was really cool.
Mm-hmm. It looked expensive. It looked very expensive.
Yeah, it looked good. That's true. But yeah, it was just okay.
Yeah. Okay, not OA.
LOL.
It's just so fun to make it. I think that you got to watch the OA just for the references alone, because then if anyone references it, you're like, wait, you know about that too?
Like, you're in an exclusive club.
Yeah.
Okay, on to The Curse. The Curse is a Showtime original, and you can watch it on Paramount Plus. Created by Benny Safdie and Nathan Fielder, starring Emma Stone and Nathan Fielder. The premise of The Curse, you know, it's really hard to say, but on a mm-hmm. very basic level, Emma and Nathan are a married couple and they're doing like an HGTV style show in New Mexico. And Benny Safdie plays their producer. So for our top three, we are choosing TV characters that we would want to make an HGTV-esque show that we would watch. Jordan, you go first. Who's your cast?
Well, for my producer, I picked Lakeith Stanfield's character from Atlanta.
Genius.
I think that there's kind of his character and Benny Safdie's character, Dougie, are very definitely different from each other. But I feel like there's a little bit of crossover. Like, they're just like not on the same planet as the rest of us. And yet I can see, but Dougie does get down to work. Like, he actually is a good reality TV producer, even though at times it seemed like he was not good at it. Mm-hmm. I can see Lakeith's character like in a producer role too, but then also being like really kind of like hippy dippy, like have an interesting perspective on life. Kind of.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's perfect.
Thank you.
He can pull people together and like control things when he wants to, but yeah. Also like be laid back mm-hmm. and creative.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Okay, so then for my couple that are the co-hosts of the show, I picked Miranda and Steve from Sex and the City.
Yes. I would watch them every day. I would love that.
It would be really funny. And I do love them as a couple, but I also know that even in Sex and the City, they have a lot of tension. They're mm-hmm. very different personalities, and that does kind of remind me of Emma and Nathan's characters in The Curse. They're very different from each other, and they do also have a lot of tension, and it makes for a funny HGTV show. So
I am also just like dying of laughter thinking about Lakeith and Steve and Miranda. I can't picture it, I'll be honest.
I actually can picture Lakeith and Steve like getting along and them driving Miranda nuts because she's like, you guys, like, we have to film this show.
But I can also kind of see Miranda trying to be like so cool. To like yes. impress Lakeith.
Yeah, that's true too. Like, try I can be laid back too.
Oh, that's gold. Okay, for mine, I said my Dougie, aka the producer. this is so random. I said Princess Carolyn from BoJack Horseman.
Oh my gosh. Well, truly one of the greatest TV characters of all time.
I agree. Literally. And she can She can manage people. She has some wild ideas. I think the episode would be like very different every single time.
Yes.
But could be fun. And then for my Whitney and Asher, I said Keely and Roy Kent from Ted Lasso. Wow. I think this was top of mind because did you see that Jason Sudeikis liked a tweet after the Emmys that was like, yes, maybe Ted Lasso would have won if Roy Kent and Keely Jones were Endgame. And I thought that was so funny and so true.
It was hilarious.
So I would love to see them reconcile. And by reconcile, I think they're friendly. But like I just think they are a fun couple in general. And like Keely would do all of the design and Roy would just be there to be like, "Mrah." And that's
it would be really good. Plus, like in the world of like the show, they're both celebrities too. So it would be like, oh, I want to watch this like kind of odd couple that's also famous do an HGTV show. That sounds good.
Yeah, it sounds great.
Wow. I love it.
Thank you. We could really go off our rockers here on The Curse, but we're going to try to really reel it in because we could talk about this for probably 5 hours.
Yes.
But we're not going to.
And I think something that helps rein us in on this is that no one has really watched it yet.
That's true.
So
that is very true.
Like, I want people to watch it, even though most people tell us they don't listen to these episodes until they've watched the show we're talking about, which if they would listen, they would know we announce spoilers. But whatever.
I think just overall, I watched the show week by week, and my opinions on the show changed every week. Like, there were some slumps where like there was an episode, like there were a couple episodes where I was like, nothing really happened, and like there was like one or two like funny things. But like the show in general is very Nathan Fielder, like makes you feel uncomfortable, and that's how it's supposed to be. And I heard a lot of people who were watching like couldn't stick with it, like they got through like one or two episodes and then they were like, no, couldn't do it. I think the payoff is worth it, and I really liked it in the end, and I was glad I stuck with it. If you like Nathan Fielder at all, or even like anything that's like slightly weird when it comes to TV, I think you'll like it.
I agree. I did the opposite. I binged it, which this show, I'm glad that I binged it because the benefit of binging it all in like a couple days was that all of these moments that you're talking about, they happened so closely together for me. So everything was still like fresh in my mind. Because there were, especially early on, there are episodes where I was just like, I don't know where this is going at all and like what purpose this serves, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, but I was like, well, I'm watching it for the podcast. Like, I'm not going to give up. And I'm like, how did they make 10 episodes of this show? Like, at some points, I really was wondering, like, what is there going on here? And, but the thing is, I think to compare it to Murder at the End of the World, because these episodes, they weren't as long as that show, but they weren't like 21, 30 minutes. Mm-mm, they were long-ish. Longer. But like it really did hold my attention so closely. And if there were a moment where I like went on my phone to look something up or something, I would have missed something. And so it is interesting how it was such a slow burn to where it's like pretty much every single moment and every like facial expression on all these characters is really crucial and you have to pay attention. But I, for the most part, I was paying attention, which is really saying a lot for me these days in my like dwindling away attention span.
Yeah, I can't really think of another TV show that is like that. Slow burn, but you have to pay attention. Like,
I know.
And I mean, for like the whole season. Like, it is the whole season, I would say, for the most part.
I would, the only show that comes to mind right now is Succession, because I don't think that seasons two two through four of Succession are not slow burns. They are pretty much hit the ground running craziness for the whole season. Season one, I remember the first time I watched it, I was kind of like, I'm not really that into it. Like, for like 3 or 4 episodes. And then there's the party that Connor throws or hosts or whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm invested. This is like hilarious. And like, I'm stressed. I'm really enjoying myself. But that one took a bit. And for this one, I was like enjoying seeing things that were going like that were going on and stuff. But what really clinched it for me was about halfway point. There was like, I just started like laughing at every single thing that was happening. And I was like, okay, like I'm really, really into this right now. I didn't know I would get this into this show.
Yeah. So it was fun. Completely agree. I would love to hear, I want like inside scoop into like the writer's room and like how Benny and Nathan even came up with this, because like, there's so many people online that are like, you're dumb if you don't understand all of the symbolism. But then I think there's other people, and I think I'm more in this camp of like, it doesn't really have to mean anything. It was just kind of there for you and to be on TV, and we watched it. And that's what I kind of like about it also, is that it's a little bit divisive. And so it's fun to like read all the takes.
100%. Like, even because the finale is like a whole other ball game. Like, it's like its own complete different animal from the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. Like, even looking at my notes, I took so many notes kind of trying to like give meaning and like what my analysis is in all the episodes leading up to the finale. And they're long. It's like some of the most notes I've ever taken, because I was like trying to process like, what is this show saying? And it's so interesting and it's so funny and weird. And then at the top, I had to say, okay, so did the finale just erase all of my thoughts? Like, did anything even matter? Because the finale was like, you just can't even, it's like so on another level. Literally, I've never seen anything. I haven't seen a lot of shows like this show, even for the rest of the season, but the finale itself is something different than I've ever seen anywhere, ever, of any show I've ever seen.
Agreed. And if you're not hooked and going to go watch it immediately, then I don't know what to do with you.
No clue what to do with you. We watch a lot of TV, and so for us to make claims like these, like, don't you think you should take that seriously?
You should. You should. It's pretty rare for me to be like, visibly shocked at something on TV nowadays, and this did it
literally. So, like, yeah, the day after I watched the finale, I forced my mom, who's never gonna watch this, to watch clips, and I like, she was my hostage for like 30 to 45 minutes trying to because I needed someone else to be experiencing this with me in person in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah. Watch it with a friend. Or text us.
We're around to discuss. We'll help you through it. It's not a want, it's a need.
Truly. Oy. Yeah, it's one of those things that now that, like, I'll let this be my personality for a little bit. If people will start watching it.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's your crush of the week?
Well, I have to give it up to Emma Stone. Because one other thing that this gives me a chance to rave about her performance in The Curse. Because, first of all, she is such an established actor herself, but she was very good at matching Nathan's awkwardness in the scenes, especially like the first half of the series. Different, it was like a different energy that she brought to his energy, but it was like where you just like leave an awkward silence a little too long in awkward conversations and stuff. It was just, her performance was so impressive because she's like famously lovable. Everyone in Hollywood loves Emma Stone. She's the most fun person to work with. Like, she's amazing. But she was so good at being so unlikable in this show, and never really seen her be that. She's always like this like quirky, fun gal that everyone wants to be her friend, and boys are in love with her, and like all this stuff, and she's so approachable. And like
playing confident characters, where like in this she was like visibly not confident, but clearly trying to like show that she was confident, and like exactly. That came through so strongly, and she did so good at that.
Yes, like that. Oh, because that really is like the most unlikable characteristic, in my opinion, that a person can have. Like then they're like, she could not be vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was so obvious. And so she's like such a charming person in real life. And this, she was like, had zero charm. No one likes her, but she is like, hey, girlfriend. Like, it's just so painful. And I thought that was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. I was going to choose her for mine too, but I will give my hat. I'll give my crush of the week to Nathan Fielder, because he also did such a good job. I'm so curious to see if they get nominated for Emmys. Nathan did not get nominated for a Golden Globe, but Emma did, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting.
Very. Yes.
But like Nathan also looks and like kind of plays the most normal person I've seen him play, while also still being totally not normal, and
mm-hmm.
Just does a really good job on like playing that. A character on the edge of that, I guess I would say. And like he has totally. Some like insane outbursts and some crazy what's that called in acting where you like are acting with your body,
like physical comedy.
Yeah, he has lots of physical comedy, I will say, in the finale that is truly insane. Don't know how it happened, don't know how he did it, but wow, was he amazing. I loved it.
Yes, well, and it really was so. This role combined so much of the Nathan we already know, and then seeing him in the scenes where he is showing a lot of emotion, never really seen that before. And it was shocking how good he was at it, because that's not when he's playing himself and stuff. He's very deadpan, like that's like his whole character is like kind of like blank face mm-hmm. a bit. Mm-hmm. Never seen him like yell ever. And so it was like, oh, this guy is like for real. Like he can act. And it just made the mystery of Nathan Fielder even deeper, because it's like, so who are you really in real life?
We'll never know. We'll never know.
We'll never know.
I loved it. Everyone was great. Thank you everyone for listening. I think we'll be back next week with Fargo discussion. Yeah. And I'm excited about that. Bye.
Bye.